Welcome to Athcast Music, the music of Athens, Georgia, now and then. I'm Marlene Sokol Stewart, and this is my podcast. Today's episode is about rhythm, it's about community, and the people who so often keep the beat from just out of the spotlight. My guest today is Eddie Glicken, a percussionist, organizer, a longtime pillar of the Athens, Georgia music scene. Born in Buenos Aires, raised in Israel and the United States, Eddie dug his heels into Athens in 1978 and spent decades performing, recording, and touring with some of Georgia's finest musicians. But his most recent work steps beyond performance into something so deeply personal and profoundly community. Eddie is a driving force behind Rhythm of the Steeple People, a 27-track compilation album spotlighting Athens, drummers, and percussionists, not just as timekeepers, but as songwriters and storytellers. 3 years in the making, this album brings together an extraordinary group of local musicians, all in support of Project SAFE, a nonprofit that helps survivors of domestic abuse find safety and sanctuary. 100% of the proceeds go directly to that mission, while recording and production support Nushi Space, another vital Athens nonprofit serving musicians' mental health. At its core, this project grew from a simple but powerful idea that so many beautiful songs written by drummers are rarely heard and that the world is missing out. But Eddie thought of it. Rhythm of the Steeple People is also a tribute. The project is dedicated to Eddie's daughter, Shannon Glicken, whose life and compassion continue to inspire this work. Eddie talks about the unseen voices behind the drum kit, the power of collaboration, and how music can be so powerful no matter where, what, or how. This is my conversation with Eddie Glicken. Well, Eddie Glicken, welcome to Athcast Music, finally. I've been telling you for a couple of years that I need to have you on. And it just comes flooding in sometimes, and I don't ever get to the people that I would really like to have.
Well, thank you for having me.
But you and I hang out with some of the same people now, and your significant other, fiancé, Lisa, and I. And I guess you were part of that whole gang, too, when we played poker and mahjong together.
Yes. I did that for a few weeks, yes.
Yeah, you did. You didn't go to all of them.
It was hard to get the time to do everything I was doing and also play poker. So
I think we did it once a month. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really miss some of those people.
Yes, I still see them once in a while. But every now and then.
I see you and Lisa a good bit around. And it was nice to have that familiarity with you. Even though you and I have not really sat down and had a kind of a real serious talk or a get-to-know-you talk or anything. I mean, we've been at parties together and things like that. But I guess sometimes it's hard to go up to somebody and really start an in-depth conversation.
When so much is going on.
You know, it needs to be kind of authentic and organic.
Sure.
And sometimes it just sounds like you're pushing it a little bit. At least on my end. But I really had no idea of your background because this is really the first time I started researching you and reading about you. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes this podcast so great for me because I get to do that. And then I really get to know somebody and it's forever. Hmm. But I have seen you at with the Glezer Band, which is fabulous. The Klezmer Band is
a lot of fun.
So much fun.
They really are.
It seems a lot of times I don't come, but it's because it's always something.
Oh, it's Athens.
My life is crazy between the podcast, my family, my granddaughter, my grandson, my kids living up in Washington. It's really, really crazy. But you were born in Buenos Aires.
Yes.
Moved to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the U.S. Why were your parents making those kind of moves? Was it political, religious, or just opportunity?
No, my parents actually were never political or religious much. Not religious at all, but a little political, but not. That's not the reason they moved. This was a long time ago, 1964, when they moved.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved to the Middle East because Israel at the time was offering people all sorts of incentives to come, because it was a new country, to come and try it out. And my parents thought, well, you know, they were thinking about moving out of Argentina anyway and try somewhere else. So they decided to just go to Israel, and actually not just my parents, but most of my family all packed up together.
They all got up and went together,
Yeah. And aunts and uncles and all that. And we just stayed there for 3 years. It was interesting. I have a
Do you remember anything about it? Yet?
Yeah, I was a little kid, but sure, yeah. And so it's funny because at the time I didn't think much of it, but now when I look back, I think, wow, that was really different the way I lived there. But, you know, that's, I still, because of my parents to this day, I still love to travel. And that's pretty much what I do.
Oh my gosh, you and Lisa definitely like to travel. I mean, well, I hated that I never met your mom because she lived in my neighborhood, right up the street.
Yeah, she was sweetheart.
And I never, you know, got to know
her. She moved in with me the last 7 years of her life. And then the last 2 years of her life, she was sick. So I was taking care of her. So,
yeah.
But my dad died in 2012. So she moved with me about a year and a half to 2 years after that.
Very nice.
Well,
caretaker.
It was just I didn't want her to live down there by herself, you know, and she had
Where was she?
She was in West Palm Beach.
Ah.
And, you know, all the family, you know, her grandkids and great-grandkids were here. And, you know, she had some friends down there, but she didn't have a whole lot of people. So I said, come on up here.
It's always hard for them to do it, but once they do, they kind of get to know
Athens.
She
enjoyed Athens, and she liked all my friends and people that she...
Yeah, because Mike and I took in his mom for 11 years in our house in Charlotte and in Duluth when we moved to Duluth, Georgia first when we came to Georgia. And I promised her that I would not let her go into a nursing facility if I could all help it. And I never had to.
Right, and that's great because... Even though it was difficult for me personally, and I'm sure for you as well, I felt when it was all over, I felt good about myself because I felt like, okay, I was able to take good care of her the whole time. And, you know, I had hospice, of course, come in and all that. But basically, the only thing hospice did was other than just check on her and make sure she had the proper medication and that I was administering it properly. And they came and bathed her one, you know, like every other day. And the only reason...
Hospice is really good.
Yes, they're great. Wonderful, especially in Athens. We have a wonderful hospice system.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, that was just out of... I could tell she was a little uncomfortable with me bathing her. So I said, Mom, would you prefer I have a nurse come in here? Is it a woman nurse? She said, it'll be a woman nurse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, my mother-in-law lost her daughter. She thought she was going to be the caregiver, but that didn't happen. So she was stuck with me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do say I'm the first Jewish saint, though. But we came to know each other very well and love each other very well, and it worked out just fine.
Good.
You know, when you got to Athens,
mm-hmm.
was it your parents that got you here? How did you get here?
No, that was me.
All you?
My best friend at the time, I was 18 and coming out of high school. Actually, I was 17 when this happened. He was killed in a car accident. We had been accepted to the university, to UCLA in California. And we were gonna move in with his father who lived in Marina Del Rey out there, because in California, and I don't know if it's still the case, I think it is, but you have to live there. You have to have a residency for 6 months before you can actually rent a place It's just they do that so to make sure people are staying, I guess. I don't know. But we were going to stay for 6 months with his father out there and then get our own place. And he went out there and got everything settled and everything. And on his on the ride back, he ended up dying in a car accident.
That had a
big impact on me. Anyway, he was a year older than me, and he was at the University of Georgia. So I was just turned 18. He was 19, and he was at the University of Georgia. He was an amazing art.
What was his name?
Jay Borshe. And he was a big influence on me. He also was a percussionist. He and I kind of started playing together back when we were about 14, 15 years old. And but anyway, so when he died, he always spoke about Athens and the music here. And he said, there's really, it's small because this was 1978.
Yeah.
He said, there's a small music community here, but they're really good. And he always spoke about it. And then when he died, I thought, I never went down to visit him down there. So I thought, well, I'm going down there to visit. And I came through here on my way out west because I was just traveling.
Nomading.
And I came through and I stayed for about a week and fell in love with it. Went out west because I had a job offer as a Spanish interpreter. I had some relatives that had a Spanish tutoring school out in California, and so they offered me a job. It was out in Hollywood. They tutored, people in Hollywood and stuff. So they offered me a job tutoring Spanish, and I wanted to go check it out. And I love visiting. Even to this day, I love visiting LA, but I could not live there.
Did our time there too.
Yeah, I lasted, I think, just over a week, and I had to go leave. And I was with a friend of mine. He said, well, where are you going to go? And I said, I don't know. Athens was pretty nice. Let's go try it. And here I am still.
And here you are still, because you came at a very good time.
Perfect time. Yeah. As soon as I came to Athens, within a couple weeks of being here, I went to hear a band. I wanted to look because I was, of course, interested in the music scene. So I wanted to go hear a band. People were saying, you ought to go hear this band. They're really good. I think you really like them. They're different. And I said, what's their name? They said, fill in the blanks. And so I said, I'll go check them out and I'll hear them.
That was John Keane.
Well, John wasn't in part of the band yet.
Oh, okay.
John actually joined the band about just a couple months after I joined.
Oh, okay.
I was 17, or I was 19, he was 17 back then. But, I'm wrong. He was 19, I was 21.
So you and John go way back.
Yes, yeah, even to now we're still good friends.
Oh, I know, yeah. I see all your camping pictures, and I'm so freaking jealous.
Yeah, it's...
Oh my gosh.
Well, he's wonderful, yeah, but he's a great guy, yeah, but you know.
I had him on the podcast, and yeah, I loved talking to him.
I'm actually pretty impressed with his whole career. He started out just, he was a musician in town, an extremely good one, way advanced for his age, for sure. And I remember when he made the decision to go to Athens Tech and learn electronics. And then next thing I knew, he was interested in doing a studio. And he built the studio, practically built it himself. And
now he's selling
it. The rest is history.
Now he's selling it.
And now he's selling it. He's retired, but
that's okay.
I am too.
He has done, but he has done his part.
Right.
And
he's made his mark.
Quite
he doesn't need to do anything else. He can rest. He's ready.
He told me that you guys are going to go on a big trip this summer.
We
like
are.
8 weeks or something?
Six weeks. Yes, we're going all over the place.
Well, I did give him a suggestion because I saw him the other night.
Yeah.
Where did it was at? The Foundry, I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I said, have you been to Palo Duro Canyon? And he said, where is that? Right. I said, it's the second largest canyon in the United States, but nobody really knows about it. It's in the panhandle of Texas in Amarillo.
Oh.
You literally...
We're going right by it.
Yeah. So he wrote it down. I showed him pictures.
We're going out to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, that's what he said. I said, you really need to because it's a smaller canyon and it's more accessible.
Right.
I had an account out there.
Right.
And he used to ride his bike once a week down into the canyon.
Nice, nice.
And back up.
Well,
crazy.
Yeah. Well, we've got, I mean, we've got a full trip planned out. You can imagine 6 weeks.
But you can actually drive down
right.
in the
so
canyon.
We might, because we're also going to drive by the Badlands, which, you know, we were thinking of staying, but then we've got so many other places that we're just.
Oh, you can go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you can go crazy.
We're going all the way out west, all the way up to Alberta, Canada. We're going to camp in the Rockies for a few days.
But you and Lisa have been planning this for so long.
Yes.
With getting your truck first and how long it took to get that truck.
Well, you know, that when I, ever since I was a teenager, I always thought the things I want to do when I retire, if at all possible, was play music still and travel. Of course, I didn't think about a family. I didn't know if I was going to ever have a family or not, you know. But and then as I got older and I decided to retire, I thought, you know, all I want to do is hang out with my family and play music and travel. And so that's all I do. And that's pretty much it.
I do this podcast, hang out with my family.
Yeah.
I try and Mike and I went to Portugal, but we did this major project in our house, right, which most people already know about that listen to this, but we took on enclosing our garage and making it a library of albums, CDs.
A nice books. A music room.
Yeah. It's books. The DVDs go across
nice.
The floor. Music, movies.
Everything.
It's crazy. I'll have to show you some
pictures.
Recreation. We're probably gonna have a big thing one day on our driveway with all of that stuff. But I always say what a special place Athens has been.
It really is.
And it still is to this day. It changed my husband's life completely. Because
for the good, I hope.
Yes. It wasn't musically.
Right.
It was academically because he was an academic his whole life.
Yeah.
He was a teacher in his heart. In fact, left the music business after 30 years or 40 years and became a teacher for the last 10 years of his working life. Mm. He just threw himself into OLLI. And I don't know if you know what OLLI is here, but the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute.
Yes, yes. Yes.
He loves it. So academically, he did great. Music, I'm the one, loves to go out, loves to go see the music. Yeah, always doing something. Now I work with Troy, checking people in and all the shows that he does.
And really,
I love
it. Athens has something for everybody.
There are nights, and I know you know this, that you don't know where to go first.
Well, you can't. You can't possibly do everything. I know. I'm the same way. I play music a lot, and I love going out to hear musicians play. And even then, between those two things alone, I have to, you know, see what I can, you know, and I commit myself to something, and then I have to stick with it.
I know, me too, because, I didn't get to go to the Nucci space.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't either. I was...
We talked a lot about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was doing... you're talking about the one recently at the Georgia Theater. Yeah. I was in Atlanta doing a little seminar thing with Sonny Ortiz.
Yeah.
And, I committed to doing that, and so I had to do that.
Well, me too.
And
I committed to Troy.
It was a good cause.
To help him with a show that night, and I could not say... No, although I wanted to, see the Mike Mills and Darius Rucker and Stephen, what's his last name from Black Crowes? How do you say his last name? I can't remember it right now. But they were at the Georgia Theater with their project.
Darius Rucker.
Yes. No, Darius, but Stephen, I can't remember his name. Darius I know because he worked for our record stores in Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Before he was, they were Hootie and the Blowfish
I remember.
But
when
he worked.
When
that
was
we were
them,
his day job for about, I don't know, probably about 7 years.
Right. Okay.
And I really wanted to go say hi to him, but I just couldn't get away. I had my granddaughter. I mean, there's always something.
Yeah.
So, but the talent that is in, I don't, in this town. Do you think we brag too much about it? Because I...
No, I don't think we brag about it much at all.
Because I do. I'm constantly saying to other cities or other people...
That's because you're not a musician.
Right.
But yeah, I know what you're saying, though. Yes, it's we're very fortunate in Athens to have the kind of musical talent we have, not just music, but all around, like you said.
It's just extraordinarily talented.
And arts of all sorts and, you know, literature.
I mean, don't you just pinch your cheek sometimes when you're playing with somebody and you're like, I'm doing this.
Yes, every night.
Yeah, there you go.
Just about every night. Well, you know,
you play with so many people,
Eddie. And it's amazing. Because I mean, there was a time when I was 20 years old, I never thought I'd be playing past 40, and here I am in my age still playing, which is amazing that people even want me to still play. But the thing that's really amazing to me is that this has happened, that I've been on stages with some amazing musicians, and I feel guilty in some ways because I never took any lessons or anything. I just, you know.
There's several people here like that, though.
Yes, yes.
And Jim White.
That's true.
He picked up a purple guitar out of a trash can.
And Jimmy Dortman, an old musician that used to be with an old band with Tommy Jordan called Men in Trees. And he never took a lesson, and he was one of the most amazing guitarists.
And Tonks, William Tonks.
William Tonks, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I played in a band with Tonks.
Yes, I know. But when he starts playing his dobro, because I distributed independent artist and film with Koch Entertainment in the 2000s.
Right.
And one of my artists was Jerry Douglas.
Right, right.
And God almighty, he loved it. But and I talked about this with a couple of people on my podcast a couple of weeks ago. But honestly, when he pulls out that dobro, he is a great guitar player. Don't get me wrong.
And the sweetest guy, too.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, great.
Oh, I know it was. It was John Neff was here, and I was like...
Yes, well, they're related.
Wait a minute.
Another sweetheart, right. Athens is just full of good, really good people.
Yeah.
You know, they're grounded. And, you know, I've like I said, we travel a lot, and we go hear other musicians and that people rave about in other cities or bands. And we'll go here, and I'll sit there and think, well, yeah, that's okay.
But then
I think I hear something like this every night in Athens, and people are raving about these guys.
Well, I worked in Austin. You know, I went to South by Southwest all the time, but that was music from all over the country mostly.
Yeah.
And Nashville I worked in for, 8 years, and... It was a great time, actually, to be working in Nashville then. I'm glad I worked in Nashville during those years.
Yeah, it's not the same now.
No, it's not. Sure. It really isn't. And I have friends there and try and go sometimes, but it's hard. It's hard to look at it sometimes. But the Basement East is still there, and those are buddies of mine. And who was just there that... I can't remember. One of my favorite artists, I can't remember. But these musicians are getting older.
Yeah.
As we are getting older.
I hadn't noticed.
And what kind of legacy do you think you're leaving?
Me?
Yeah. And don't say you don't have a legacy, Eddie, because you do.
I don't know if I think...
As a person, as a musician, as someone who has lived a life very interesting, had some tragedy in it, but...
Yes. If I want to leave... You know, I always felt like Athens, from the first day, just embraced me and took me in, and because of... a lot of issues, as you mentioned, that I've had some hard times. The people in Athens that helped me through my hard times. And have given so much to me. Like I said, I mean, I came in here, I was just beating on some drums. I didn't know how to play music, really. And, I mean, I played music, but not professionally or anything like that. But I'm just so thankful to this town because of everything. I mean, I've gotten to play with amazing musicians, Caroline Aiken, Randall Bramlett, Widespread Panic, you know, all kinds of people. And it's, I'm very fortunate. So, it, you know, I want to give back to them. And so that's why I do all the things I do, is to give back to Athens.
Yes. Well, there isn't probably one musician who doesn't tell me the same thing.
Well, there you go.
In this town.
Good.
That when they got here, it was nothing but embracing.
I told you I was nothing special.
Well, no, you are very special in what you do,
and
what you provide, and your latest project, which we're going to get into in just a minute.
Thank you.
But what I was going to say is that there is a time when you have to think about what now, and what is my future. Where do I want? You know, do I want to stay like this? Do I just want to sit on a beach or on a camping site and eat my bonbons?
Well, you know, the one thing I have learned is that no matter through my life, no matter what I thought my future was going to be,
it never was.
It never happened.
Yeah.
And usually I was completely surprised by where my future went. So all I can say is I don't make plans for the future because, who knows about the future. So I just do it for now. And right now is, as long as I'm able to play music, as long as I'm able to be around my family, and as long as I'm able to do good for Athens and travel, I'm happy. You know, I've had a good life.
It's just lovely. I am trying to, my philosophy right now is, especially with, you know, your body's hurting right now and you were sick or had a bronchitis, or, you know, and you're getting older, and you just have to stay in the present.
Keep moving.
You just have to keep moving and stay in the present.
Exactly.
Because last Monday, I celebrated 19 years of my transplant.
That's
and it's
absolutely
phenomenal.
Fantastic.
And so
congratulations.
That's
an accomplishment.
That's an accomplishment.
Nothing I'm doing here matters that much.
Well, it's a game changer, yeah. That's for sure.
Yes, that's amazing.
It's a game changer, and it's a lovely story. And I had a little celebration and read my little poem that I wrote and everything.
Very
I live a very grateful life, and I get really mad at myself if I start going down a rabbit hole about the way this country is right now, or that my leg hurts, or, you know, there's so many things that you can really bring yourself down on. Like, God, this is exhausting, and why do it, you know, why is this?
I have a lot more things that I can bring myself up on, you know.
I try to focus on that
and just keep moving.
Well, I had two sisters who had the same disease,
and
they didn't make it.
No, all the more reason you have
to. You have to really
keep going.
Keep going.
Yeah.
And talking to my donor the other day, you know, she said to me on the phone, we hadn't talked for about 6 months, and she said to me, I said, I was so lucky because those years could have been so different from what my sisters were.
Right.
And she said, no, I'm the lucky one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see it.
So, you know, I get a little teary-eyed even hearing her say that.
That's great.
The story is
I can understand it,
very... But you have made such a commitment to this town, to this community, to help several nonprofits, especially Nucci Space.
Yes.
And Project Safe.
Yes.
You know, as well, you know, you have addressed mental health. Obviously, you were affected by your daughter losing her battle
with that. Right.
When did you become aware? Because I know it was before your daughter.
Yes.
But when did you become aware of the sense of importance to help a community?
I think that's probably...
Your community.
Yeah. I think that's probably just the way I was raised. You know, you treat your neighbors well, and, you know, it's my parents. It's their fault. So
blame it on the parents, except that's a good thing to blame them
on. I've never seen my parents, you know, treat anyone harshly. On the contrary. I mean, I remember when I was 4 years old living in Buenos Aires in Argentina, and I remember there was a homeless person came knocking on our door, and he asked for money. And my mom said, we don't have much money, but I can make you something to eat. And he said, okay. And she brought this guy in the house who you can imagine didn't smell real good, didn't look real good. Yeah. She didn't care. She told him to go wash his hands and she'd have a sandwich ready for him when he gets done.
Go wash your hands. That's a true mama.
And she said, go wash your hands. I'll have a sandwich ready. And she sure did.
Well, something, I haven't told my granddaughter this yet, but when we go downtown, we walk around downtown. Grandma, can I have a dollar for this man? Grandma, can I have a dollar? Mm-hmm. And she'll give it to him.
I still, to this day, carry dollar bills with me to just do.
I am. Yeah. So I have saved quite a few for her.
Yeah.
Next week, she doesn't know that I'm taking her downtown, nice. And she can just walk around.
Very nice.
She can give $1. She can give $2. I took her one time to give bears and stuffed animals to the cars that drove up the Boys and Girls Club mm-hmm. every year. And nice. That was something I think she really enjoyed.
Yes.
But she called them something else. I don't remember what it was. I know what it was. She called homeless people poorless.
Mm-hmm. Poorless.
And I thought that...
No, we're trying to make them poorless.
Yes. To her, right. It was poor and homeless right. together. She always used to mix these things.
Of course.
No, I know. It was kind of cute, though. And I'm trying to convince her because, let me tell you, these kids, and she included, what's next? What do I get next?
Yeah. Well, that's great.
And I have to show her. I didn't grow up with parents in my house, so it was all sisters and brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad came home on weekends, and I needed to show her what that's like.
Sure.
Because she thinks everything is her.
Right, right.
So we have to go through that.
Right.
So you did a thing.
I did a thing,
Eddie.
I hope you...
A very beautiful thing.
Oh. Whew, I don't know.
Did you think
for
you
a minute
were in,
there,
you,
I thought,
did you think you were in
who
trouble?
Who you been talking to?
As a drummer, you know that drummers, you knew,
mm-hmm.
experiencing it yourself and percussionist, that they never get their due recognition unless maybe it's a drum solo.
Right.
They, you know, they sit in the background and they're doing the beat and the rhythm and all that. But they write songs, evidently.
Every now and then, yes.
Every now and then. And
good
I
ones.
Never, ever thought about that.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people don't.
And you did. You had this epiphany. Because well, you knew they did. That you could do this. And you
well, I heard them. Every now and then, I would hear a song that I didn't recognize. And I would ask the band, who wrote that? Because I know it's original. I hadn't, you know, more than likely because I wasn't familiar with it. And they would say, the drummer. And, oh, nice. And it was a great song. And this happened over the years, over and over. And finally, I kept thinking, somebody needs to get, you know, a combination of all these tunes together on an album and put them out because they're beautiful. And
but you not only did that, you did it for Project Safe. That's what I love. You never stopped thinking about it. And God almighty.
And the
John
money
King,
for...
Tony Oscar, Deborah Walls, Kane Stanley, Seth Hendershot, Bill Berry, Mike Mantione on guitar, Jay Gonzalez, John Neff. I mean, they're not...
Randall Bramlett.
Randall Bramlett. Yes, I have him here
Betsy
as well.
Betsy Frank.
Yeah.
It goes on. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It goes on. I couldn't...
The concept was that... If that's what you're asking me.
Well, I what I was saying is that I think that you hold this project so very deep in your heart that I can't do it justice. You have to try and explain.
Well, it took 3.5 years to, it wasn't, you know, from the time I conceived it, I thought about it. And I just really never thought it would happen because it was a crazy idea. But I thought, well, finally, I decided to give it a shot. My idea was to get all these drummers that I've heard over the years, local drummers, to see if they could come in. And well, before that, I wanted to record all their songs. And I wanted to have them record with whatever local musicians they wanted. So most of them chose the musicians. some already had it recorded, and it was, of course, the whole thing was done at Nucci Space, at Amplify Recording Studio there, because I wanted to make sure that they got the money from the recording, because
you gave it to them.
I did.
Which, you know, I'm laughing, but it's just to stop me from tearing up about it, to be honest.
I didn't give that to him. I mean,
you Chris helped him Byron, make sure that
was the engineer, and he put he and Kane were very instrumental in this. They put their heart and souls into this thing. That's the main reason it was good, especially Chris. I mean, he did a great job.
And Kane, it's funny because I was talking to him in 2024. Mm-hmm. Like I told you earlier, I lost it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I said, I never answered him. And now we've been talking.
Right.
And I started just looking at some of his stuff.
Right.
He's Lord great. Have mercy.
Great songs. He's got two great tunes on the album. Yeah, so that was the idea, to get these drummers to commit at least one, if not two tunes, which most of them did. And then I would give them the choice of who they wanted on there, and I would ask and see if they would do it, if I could, you know. I couldn't guarantee them, you know. And
but nobody said no.
Nobody said no. Well, some people, actually a few people did.
Probably for a good reason.
I wanted Adriana Thomas on there, and unfortunately she, I just didn't hear from her. Then I found out that she was busy with other things she was doing at the time. There were other people, but, you know, that couldn't do it. I wanted Caroline on it, Caroline Aiken, mm-hmm. but Caroline unfortunately wasn't able to do it at the time. So there were a few people that said they couldn't do it. But for the most part, everybody immediately said yes.
Well, there's a difference, I think, that they couldn't do it rather than no.
Right, right.
There's a big difference
other,
to that.
Yeah, yeah, there was other commitments.
So that's when I say nobody said no. Right. They absolutely would have said yes if they were able to. Well, I think I listened to a lot of it. I don't think I made it to all the songs, but I listened to a lot of it. I listened to it when it came out.
Right.
But I hadn't listened to it for a while. And it really is something. And
beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, gosh.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, it took three and a half years. But, and at times I thought, I'm crazy. What am I doing? I'm never going to be able to give this thing justice, do justice to it. And
yeah.
But then now it's done, and we had a, you know, the release, and it did great, and I'm really happy with it.
You know, it's funny, Eddie, because first of all, half my life I never thought I'd be doing, just like you. I'm associate producer of a live television show, World Championship Wrestling, music and promoting music and all these other things. And here I am doing a podcast. I never, ever imagined myself doing a podcast. But something in me said to do it.
Then you do it.
Well,
what's the worst you can do?
I met Kayla,
is fail.
And she helped, Miss Kayla, my engineer over there, because she got so excited about it.
Nice.
And that was encouragement. That was okay. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I might have something here. Nobody's telling me I'm an idiot, or that won't work, or who are you?
Well, you don't know until you try something. Yeah,
well,
you know,
I carry that old adage. She said she could, so she did. And so did you.
Yeah,
you said you could do it.
Well,
and I just...
Can I mention that the album, first of all, there's 27 songs, and it's just $20. It can only be gotten online. So
yeah, I have all that written down on somewhere.
Just go to Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And the album is called Rhythm of the Steeple People. And if you just enter that, it'll take you to it.
Yes.
So please donate. 100% of the donations of the proceeds go to Project Safe. And it would be great to help them out.
Yes. Well, I know this project is dedicated to your daughter, Shannon, who, like we said, lost her battle with depression. Mm-hmm. Is there anything, when you think of Shannon in this project, that comes together with you, like Shannon, she was there with you?
Yeah, the whole time, of course.
That she...
I think about her most of the time, yeah. Every day.
Yeah. That's good, Eddie.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, she was important.
Yes.
Of course, I think of all my kids. I had three daughters. Yes. I have two more, and I think about them all the time too.
So. Oh, I have two kids too, yeah. And two yeah. grandkids, and me too. I take care of my granddaughter a lot, and I never really got to do that with my grandson.
Yeah.
I've lost quite a few family members. Yeah. Six.
Yeah.
There's four out of 10 left.
I'm sorry.
And so, I understand that feeling of loss no matter what happened. But it's also very, it makes it a little bit sadder, of course, when somebody takes their life.
Sure, sure. Well, it's the kind of thing, as a parent, you just can't even imagine happening, you know.
And unfortunately, I've known many people.
Yeah, and when it does happen, you never imagined it would be that hard.
Well, you are going to be traveling. You are going to be playing still. You're
and
still going to be around
both.
There. And I'm sure you're going to be
still touring.
You're going to be beating in that drum, looking at the moon. You and John. I swear, I know it. I can already see it.
Well, I don't think John's not going to beat any drums.
No, but he might howl at the moon.
If he does, I'll definitely have to take some videos.
Yes. He's a quiet guy.
Yeah.
He's a quiet guy. But I really thank you for coming on because
thank you for having
I
me.
Want people to know my goal with this podcast is for people out there. Everybody in Athens knows who you are. Mm. I'm trained. Oh, yes, they do. The people that need to know who you are. Okay.
Okay, thanks. You mean like the FBI? And
yeah, those. CIA.
Right.
I'm trying to bring the world into Athens. And every day I talk to people like you, I think I get a little bit closer.
Thank you.
So thank you so much
for
being
here. Thank you very much.
I'm so glad I finally did it.
And thanks to Kyle.
Gosh, I cannot say enough how special it was to hear Eddie talk about his life before getting to Athens and since. There are never words ever said about him that doesn't include the words love and kindness. That's for sure. Please order or download your copy of The Steeple People at thesteeplepeople.bandcamp.com. That's the only way to get it. It costs $20, and it's worth every penny for what it does for Project Safe. Look in my notes as well for the link. Thank you always for those who listen or comment on my podcast. I again ask that you download your episodes along with following them on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as that helps me to get out there to more and more people. And please share, share, share. Remember, if you don't listen, you can't hear. We will be off for a couple of weeks for the holiday, but we'll return in January.